This reading is from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. When they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn.
And the shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Well, good afternoon, everyone. For those who don't know me, I'm not a familiar face. My name's Ian. I also work here at Emmanuel. And just before we start and hear a bit about that passage, I'm going to need a couple of volunteers to come up and help hold this for me. Unlike Mike, I can't bribe you with sweets, so I just need two volunteers. Yes, do you want to come up? Yeah, why don't you come up? Here we go. Now let's try and move this without knocking it over. Could you hold this side? And you hold this side. Well, last night, while I was watching Strictly Come Dancing, did anyone get that result? No way, that was a surprise, wasn't it? I did some very scientific research on Google about what people associate with Christmas. What people associate with Christmas. And what I'd like you to do is see if you can guess what most people think Christmas is all about. We've got three things here. And in a family fortune styly, we're going to see if we can try and guess those. So hands in the air, what do people most associate with Christmas? Yes. We honestly didn't plan this. Presents. Well done. Well done. So presents. Christmas and presents, of course. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without presents. What else? Hands in the air if you think someone... I see there's a hand right at the back there. Santa didn't make the cut, sorry, but good guess. Yes. Jesus, he also didn't make the cut. Something that maybe we all eat at Christmas. Brussels sprouts definitely didn't make the cut. Did someone shout it from the back? Turkey. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without turkey. As bland as it is. There we go. Final thing. Something else we all haven't, we often all have in our front rooms at Christmas. We love putting them up. Yes. A Christmas tree. Yes, well done. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without a tree. Can we have a round of applause for our volunteers for holding this up? Thank you. Why don't you go and grab seats? Christmas, presents, turkey, trees. That's what Christmas is all about. And in the next 15 minutes or so, I'd like to spend a little bit of time just hearing about what the Bible says Christmas is all about. Well, it was cold that night. Very cold. The stars, they hung brightly above the shepherds' heads, sparkling on an ink-black canvas. And the shepherds sat around a generous fire, thankful for its warmth. And whenever it started to die down, they fed it with sticks, causing sparks just to fly upwards. And the embers of the fire snapped, crackled, and popped. scaring away any wolves that lurked in the darkness. And in the quietness of the night, the shepherds talked about this and that, about their families back at home, about the latest goings on in Bethlehem. And their feet were always sore. See, it was a hard job being a shepherd, but it was a good job. And that night was just another night. The same old stars above their heads, the same old sheep in their care. And of course, it goes without saying that none of them were expecting what happened next. One minute it was dark, the next minute the light was just blazing all around them. So bright, and that is actually quite bright, they sort of had to shield their eyes. Before them was a man robed in light, like no man the shepherds had ever seen before. You know, these shepherds, they were men, they understood crooks and calluses. They understood pastures and parasites. But this man who appeared, who was he? Well, the Bible tells us that he was an angel, a messenger sent from God. At which point, some of us go, come on now, we all know there's no such thing as angels, okay? Angels look great at the top of a Christmas tree, maybe in a Christmas nativity, but every rational adult knows that angels don't actually exist. Which is why, when we hear the story, we just file it as B for bonkers. It's nuts. Angels appearing, B for bonkers. Totally mad. A fairy story. But here's the thing. Our assumptions affect how we see the facts in front of us. Our assumptions affect how we see the facts in front of us. So I was recently on holiday in America, and during a visit to the supermarket, I decided to go to the ice cream aisle, okay? A whole aisle dedicated to ice cream. Amazing! Peanut butter and chocolates, salted caramel and pecan. Your favorite flavor, they had three of them, okay? And as I walked down the aisle, I came to a flavor of frozen yogurt, which was apple and cheddar. Apple and cheddar. Ah, hands up if you would want to eat apple and cheddar ice cream. Let's just, there's one hand there, some very brave hands. Look, apple and cheddar, absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And I was a little bit confused. I thought maybe this is an American thing. But so I looked a bit closer. I saw there was a dog's face on the tub. And I thought, strange. And then I looked a bit closer. And I saw it was called Yoghound. And then suddenly, I understood. In America, you can buy frozen yogurt for dogs. Now, you see, I'd assumed that frozen yogurt was only for humans. I thought that was a reasonable assumption. So when I saw apple and cheddar, well, my brain, it just didn't compute. Surely, no human, other than maybe some over there, would eat apple and cheddar flavored frozen yogurt. But once I understood that frozen yogurt was available for dogs, suddenly apple and cheddar sort of made sense. You see, our assumptions affect how we see the facts in front of us. If we assume God doesn't exist, then of course, angels don't make sense, and this is just a fairy story. But if we assume that God could exist, then maybe angels do too. Maybe this story isn't as B for bonkers as we first thought. In fact, if you have a look down at the beginning of the first reading in your booklet, all this happened during the reign of the Roman Caesar Augustus. All this happened during the reign of the Emperor Quirinius. You can Wikipedia these guys when you get home. We're not dealing in once upon a time stories. Far from being B for bonkers, this is H for history. The Christmas story isn't a fairy story, but it is a special story. And we all want Christmas to be special, don't we? Deep down, we all want the magic of Christmas to be real. Well, that night, out on the cold hills, as the angels appeared to the shepherds, something special was happening. Not special in a fairy dust and Father Christmas kind of way. Special in a history has just changed forever kind of way. These shepherds, these guys were really brave. They were used to protecting their sheep from wild animals. But when they see the angel, they are terrified. What could he want from them? It's a bit like you when you're back at school and you're working away or you're talking to a friend and there's a knock at the door and it's the headmaster. Now, you look up and you gulp and he wants to speak to you. Of course, I couldn't possibly speak from personal experience, but your first thought might be, what have I done wrong? But the shepherds didn't need to worry because the angel said to them, don't be afraid. It's not bad news. It's good news. And we're going to hear all about it after our next song. So when the music strikes up, let's stand to sing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, which tells us all about the angel appearing to our favorite shepherds. Wonderful. Take a seat. Well, when we left our shepherds, they were standing there, dumbstruck at the angel's appearance. They were quaking in their boots. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And we might be thinking, what? The birth of a baby? Is that really important news? Wouldn't it have just been easier to do a kind of cosmic Facebook status update? Was sending an angel really necessary? And it all depends on how important the baby is. According to the angel, this baby is very important, and his birth affects not just the shepherds, it affects everyone. Do you see what the angel says at the end of verse 10? It's news for all people, for old and young, for boys and girls, for North and South Bristol. You see, the angel isn't giving take it or leave it type of information. It's not like the angel appears to the shepherds and tells them how wonderful cashew butter is. Okay, cashew butter. Now, if you've not tried cashew butter before, you're in for a treat. It is like spreading dreams all over your toast. So if your Christmas stocking is still looking a bit empty, it's not too late to ask Father Christmas for some cashew butter available in all good shops. And some of you might be thinking, that really does sound delicious. And you'd be right. But others, of course, might be thinking, that really is gross. Apple and cheddar was bad. Cashew butter sounds worse. You see, cashew butter is brilliant. But my love of it, you can take it. You can leave it. It doesn't really matter. But the angel isn't telling the shepherds that kind of information. He's got news to share. News that affects us all. Have a look down at verse 11. See how he describes this baby, the angel. He's called a saviour. And he's come to save, according to the angel, all of us, not just the shepherds, need a saviour, a rescue. Do you see how this isn't a take-it-or-leave-it cashew butter kind of announcement? If it's true we need a saviour, then this is more a the lifter in has broken down, but good news, an engineer is on the way to fix it kind of announcement. It's news that affects all of us. And you might be thinking, what a load of rubbish. All this talk of things being broken and needing a saviour. Come on. Of course, it only takes a glance at the news to know that our world is stained with division and sadness, whether it's far from home or close to home, or even in our homes. And it hurts even more when we see suffering at a time of year that's meant to be so joyful. But the problem is not just out there. It's also in here, in our hearts. Now, here's an iPhone. They're beautiful, aren't they? I would love to be an iPhone, not just for its beauty. Once a year, I get an upgrade and become a better person. It would be amazing. Some years, the upgrade might be big. Some years, it might be small and not justified. But at least I'd be improving. I'd be becoming more kind. I'd be more gentle. I'd be more generous. The problem is, I'm always resolving to be a better man, more patient with my son, kinder to my colleagues. But no matter what I promise, within days, do you know what, often within hours or minutes, I've lost my temper with my son, and I'm grumpy again with my colleagues. I just keep on hurting those around me, even those I love the most. And I doubt it's just me. Now, why? Why? Well, the Bible's answer is that this brokenness, this sin, comes when we turn in on ourselves, away from God. And disconnected from God, we shouldn't be surprised that life doesn't work out as we'd hoped for. It's like having a Christmas tree in your front room, lit up with baubles and lights. I mean, they're beautiful, aren't they? But separated from the soil in which it was meant to grow, a Christmas tree will never flourish. Separated from God, we can never fully be the people we were made to be. And you might be thinking, oh man, this is a serious downer. This is depressing. Come on, it's Christmas time. Cheer up, Ian. But it's into this darkness that the angel declares, I bring you good news of great joy. A saviour has been born, and he's here to rescue us and bring us back to God. And he's not just a saviour. Verse 11, the angel calls him Lord, and Lord is just another way of saying King. Now, hands up here if you've ever read horrible histories. Horrible histories are absolutely brilliant. They tell lots of grisly stories about kings and queens always out to kind of crush and squelch the little person. And when we hear talk of Jesus as king, we might automatically think, I bet Jesus is a right stinker as a king. But Jesus isn't like other kings. Have a look down at what the angel said to the shepherds in verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This king wasn't born in a private hospital at the hands of the country's top consultants. The world's press weren't waiting inside. This baby wasn't whisked away to a warm palace. No, this whimpering, wriggling, hungry baby This king was born in a manger, an animal's feeding trough. It's a bit like getting out your recycling bin and laying a newborn in it. Filthy. Disgusting. Gross. And the way Jesus was born shows us what kind of king he grew up to be. A king for the weak who sympathizes and supports. A king for the guilty who forgives and fixes. A king who takes all our spiritual poverty and gives us all his riches. That's King Jesus, and he's not like other kings. Not long ago, I used to work as a lawyer, and when I was a trainee, I got roped into helping with a relatively important case. And as the most junior member of the team, I was in charge of the most menial tasks, so filing emails, photocopying documents, preparing bundles. And sometimes we needed to work relatively late into the night to get things done. And one evening, about 11 p.m., my workload tipped from really busy to drowning. And when it happened, I started to panic and sweat. I don't know if it's just me. When the panic happens, the sweat just appears, usually about 7 minutes later. Maybe that's just my experience. But as I was starting to sweat quite seriously in panic, the senior partner on the case crossed the corridor and came into my office. And I was thinking, oh no, please don't give me any more work, because I'm going to have to say yes because you're so senior. But he didn't give me more work. He said, Ian, you've been working hard all week. It's time for you to go home. Leave your work with me, and I'll deal with it. And so off I went, leaving Rupert at his desk to carry my load. And that night, the way in which I viewed Rupert changed. He wasn't the distant senior partner anymore. He was the man who cared enough to cross the corridor and help me. Christmas story isn't a fairy tale, but it is a special story. It shows that God cares for us, that he's not against us, he's for us. It shows he wants a relationship with us. With the birth of Jesus, God crossed the corridor and came to help us, to make everything sad and everything broken come untrue. And one day it will. What a king. What good news of great joy. No wonder the angels and shepherds rejoiced.